Welcome to episode 117 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know why dear is a little old-fashioned in terms of an email greeting, have an outline of four other options that work well, understand the difference between yours sincerely and yours faithfully at the end of emails, and some amazing questions and feedback from our listeners, which of course is you. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of this podcast. Today we are going to be talking about emails, and in fact, the new way that we are organizing this podcast is that we are following very much, or being inspired at least, by the Friday email that I send out previously, and so that we can sort of integrate some feedback from all of you, and hopefully that will help all of you even more because we're actually really addressing some of the issues that you send back to me. And today we're actually going to focus on emails, and in particular the way that you might start an email in English. And the one word that is very, very common that everybody really learns when they learn English, which is the word dear. Okay, and as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair, how are you doing?
Hi, yeah, I'm doing great, thanks. And you?
I'm fine, yeah. Good. So today we're going to be talking about this word, dear, which is very common. Let's say I would assume that most people, when they study English, would assume that you pretty much start all sort of written communication, if it's some sort of letter, email, with dear, right? My email on Friday kind of, yeah, destroyed that image by basically saying that dear is no longer really necessary in most cases, and it is something that we'll definitely discuss now. And I kind of gave alternatives, which we'll go through as well, but then also get sort of answer any questions and ideas that our listeners have had, right? Mm-hmm. Which is going to be really fantastic and interesting. But yeah, maybe Alistair, we can just start off by talking about the word dear and how it's sort of changed over the years, right?
Yeah, sort of gone out of fashion, you could say, no, or become a little antiquated with today's way of writing more informally in general, or life in general. Mm. But obviously with messages and texting, WhatsApp, emails, generally things have become more informal, relaxed, however you want to say it. Mm. So dear comes from a time in the past where that was the standard format of letter writing. So I imagine, well, you're younger than me, Daniel, but still old enough that we were at school in the pre-internet era, or the pre-email writing era, definitely pre-WhatsApp era. Mm-hmm. So we were taught at school in English class, you know, letter writing, letters, not emails.
Yeah.
And it was a very formal style, very, there was a way of doing it that you were taught, you know, you do it like this, there wasn't a lot of, you know, invention or imagination. It was like, these are the rules of letter writing.
Yeah.
At least in English. And imagine Spanish, very similar.
Sure.
And it was, you always begin with dear.
Yeah.
It was basically, it was only a question of dear Mr. Smith, if you didn't know the person's first name.
Mm-hmm.
Dear, if you knew them, they were called John Smith. So you'd say, dear John, never dear John Smith.
No.
Which is, now this is a bit irrelevant now because we're saying it's not, you know, don't use dear. But how that was a rule, like if you know the first name and the surname, you never put them together. So you never say dear John Smith. It's dear Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith or dear John. If you don't know if it's a man or a woman, you don't have a name, dear sir stroke madam. So these were very strict rules that, you know, you were taught and you had to follow. No.
Yeah.
So that's all changed in the modern era. No?
It has, dramatically, hasn't it? Of course, first with the idea of emails, I suppose, and then all sorts of different communication tools even more recently, right? And so in my email on Friday, I kind of gave alternatives, right? Which are, most of our listeners will have will know really clearly. They're not very difficult at all. But they have become much more common and acceptable, even in a business context, right? Mm. So to give you a few examples there, I gave hi, which is okay. You know, you can use hi.
Informal, obviously.
Yeah.
With colleagues, people, you know.
Yeah. Hello maybe has replaced dear. Would you say that? Kind of like...
Yeah. It's the slight... Well, obviously, it's a more formal version of hi.
Yeah.
So, I suppose, maybe hello has replaced the dear. Hmm. Yeah, it's sort of more neutral. Could be a first email to somebody you don't know, perhaps. A colleague you're not that familiar with. Clients, customers you don't... Yeah, you could, that's a good point, actually. Maybe hello, sounding slightly more formal than hi, which is very informal.
Yeah.
Has possibly replaced the dear. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Other alternatives could be good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And this is an interesting one because before we started recording, I kind of mentioned to Alistair that there can be some sort of confusion, especially between sort of the English timetable and at least here in Spain, the timetable is slightly different in terms of like identifying what is morning, what is afternoon, what is evening. And further complexity if you include night in there as well.
Yeah, don't go there. That
yeah, that gets very confusing. But, you know, like those are options as well. You can say good morning, you know, Alistair. You could start an email like that as well, couldn't you?
I think the one to avoid that is the biggest mistake, in Spain at least, not sure about Latin America. In fact, I think talking to Latin American clients, it may not be a problem there, but in Spain definitely, is the Spanish morning continues until you eat. Mm. So you only start saying buenas tardes, which is the equivalent of afternoon, after you've had lunch, which in Spain is very late. So people won't start saying, people say good morning here, buenos dias, up until 2 o'clock. 2:30, definitely till 1.
Sure, absolutely.
So always, you know, if I begin a session with a client at 1:30, they'll say, oh, good morning. And I'm going, nope, good afternoon. And this is the easier, say afternoon, what does it mean? Think of the word after noon. It's a composite. After, después, and noon means midday.
Yeah.
So afternoon is literally after midday. So 1 second... literally 1 second after 12 midday begins afternoon. So it's very easy. It's just the clock. You can count down, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. So it's nothing to do with eating or lunch. So there's no variation between people. At 1 minute past 12, well, 1 second, I suppose, past 12 midday is the afternoon.
Yeah.
Now, we won't go to evening because that gets a bit, that's a bit more, less precise, shall we say. There's a bit of a grey area when the afternoon ends and the evening begins.
That's true.
I think most people are going to be writing emails at work in the morning or the afternoon, not in the evening.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think more important is to get that right, no?
Yeah.
If it's 12:30, 1 p.m., it's good afternoon, which to a Spanish speaker is strange because to them is, but it's not afternoon, you haven't eaten yet.
Yeah.
You go, it's nothing to do with food. It's just the clock. That's all it is. So I think that's the most obvious one to avoid.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there were two more that I proposed in my email, which was following up on. So this is basically really where you maybe have been in contact with a person already. So that's maybe there's no need really to introduce yourself in a formal way in any way. And then I hope this email finds you well. That was another alternative as well.
Yeah.
But that's those last two could actually be the actual second sentence, couldn't they? They're not necessarily the greeting.
Yeah, you could
at
say
beginning.
Hi, I hope this email finds you well.
Yeah.
Hello, following up on my previous email about da 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 da.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they could be, the next line after the hi, hello, good morning.
Yeah.
That's true. Rather than beginning, maybe.
That's right. That's right. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, and then there's just the question of, you know, whether this is correct or not. I mean, it's true that, I mean, like, when was the last time, Alistair, that you might have used dear in any communication that you've done? I suppose
a long time ago, probably in a letter, which is... I can't remember the last time I sent a letter as opposed to an email.
Yeah.
So probably before I came to Spain. So you're talking at least 27 years ago.
Sure.
So I don't really remember. But not for a long time. So I can't remember. I'm not sure I've ever started an email with dear that I can remember. Maybe There might be one occasion, I think I was writing to an insurance company in England or something. So basically a very formal letter about a formal thing to a, you know, an organization.
Yeah.
Not to any particular individual person I didn't know.
Yeah.
So maybe I just put, "Dear Sir, Madam." So I went back to my old, you know, learning from school. But yeah, that's a very particular situation. That's not an interaction in a business world between clients, customers, colleagues.
Sure.
That was an individual me writing to a company about some very specific, maybe it was about my pension in England, I think, a pension fund.
Sure.
So that kind of thing, maybe, yes, we would still use dear.
Yeah, probably.
But is very, or a complaint letter.
Yeah.
So if
yeah,
you were writing, you know, you had a complaint with a product you bought and you were trying to get, you know, your money back or a replacement, then you yeah, might write to the, again, because you're not dealing with an individual person.
Sure.
You're writing to, you know, Ford Motor Company or whatever, it Chrysler or whoever it may be.
Yeah.
So in those situations, complaint letters, things like that, inquiries to companies, yeah, maybe it's still valid. But I mean,
yeah,
that's not your usual situation in your day-to-day life in your office and your job, no?
Yeah, and we'll actually come on to that because a few people did actually mention that,
yes,
in their email to me. And I think it's something that's interesting to discuss a little bit.
Yeah, they argued the case for dear still.
That's right, that's right, that's right, exactly.
Which, really, you know, I think yeah, they made a fair point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So maybe we can go on to that feedback, Alistair. What do you say? Should we move
yeah,
on to that?
Yes, we've got a lot of feedback. Now I'm also seeing your emails. I have access to them, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
So it's quite a good response.
Yeah, which is good.
Interesting comments and observations and
absolutely,
suggestions.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I got one or few emails, in fact, that basically sort of agreed with me and they kind of felt that they wouldn't be using dear anymore, right? That was the, yeah, that was the idea. And I think that's, I think most of the time that will be probably right. I mean,
90%, 95% of the time.
Yeah. I mean, if the only exception might be that if you feel that something's a little bit more formal, you don't know the person very well, and you think that, yeah, that it just feels more natural to put dear for that first communication, then I would be sort of happy with it, you know. I mean, it wouldn't be too much of an issue for me.
No. I think these people, I saw a few comments saying they didn't realize till they read your email that dear was wrong. It's like that's what they've been taught to do, like we were taught at school, probably in Spanish, you know, in English class, you know, back at school or something.
Yeah.
They said, oh, I didn't realize that was so formal.
Yeah.
From, you know, I'll stop doing it. So, you know, there's a few people have like, I think it's interesting. They said, oh, I've been using that all my life. Oh, I didn't realize it was.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
Not that it's a big problem or a
no,
big
not at all.
I don't
no,
think people need to worry if they have been using it.
Sure.
But they just said, okay, you know, I'll change. I'll, you know, I won't do it again. So, you know, it's been quite useful for some people.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And I think a hello there can replace that quite nicely, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just that if you keep on using dear, then the fact that you're even with somebody maybe that you know quite well or that you've met quite well, it means that you're kind of keeping them at a distance in a way, right?
Yeah,
it's kind
it sounds of a bit unfriendly, a bit yeah, cold these days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As you say, maybe a first email, first contact. Well, we'll come to this. Know what?
We will.
Suggested.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, once you've got that interaction with someone and you're exchanging emails, it sounds very strange to continue putting dear.
Absolutely.
Sense, yeah, you're a bit cold, keeping a distance, don't want to get too friendly with you. So it probably doesn't give a good impression anymore, actually, in business world.
That's right,
you
that's
have
right.
A more informal relationship with people. Even though you've never met them physically ever, it's only writing emails, but, you know, you start having a relationship or indirectly with someone, no, that you're
yeah,
exchanging emails with on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly.
On the other side of the world, maybe, but it doesn't matter, no?
Yeah, and especially if you actually meet them, imagine that you actually meet
well,
them
especially if you've
face
met
to face
them at some point
at the conference, yeah, or you know, you don't meet them, you haven't met them for a while, or your first initial contact is just online, and then you meet them at a conference and you continue to use dear, then I would definitely see that sort of as wrong,
yeah,
because you're kind of really pushing them away at that point and kind of saying, I really want to keep this very formal, you know. English,
so definitely avoid that.
Yeah, English is quite, let's say, I find it quite interesting in terms of, you know, other comparing it to other languages. And of course, in German and in French, you've got the formal version of sort of you, right? Can you do that? Or like as in Spanish as well, in with Spanish, usted as well, usted, right? Mm. I find that quite tricky, and it's kind of a similar sort of situation. So certainly when I kind of try to communicate in German, I kind of find that difficult, partly because I think, well, that's very distant and everything else. And I think this is a similar sort of situation. If you kept on using dear, then I think it would be very, very sort of keeping yourself at a distance from somebody, right?
Yeah, maybe it's not exactly the equivalent, but maybe in Spanish, saying usted to somebody who you know. Because these days, at least in Spain, well, South America, I know Latin America, it's much
different.
More common.
Yeah, usted
using
is common,
usted,
right?
Usted is.
Yeah.
But in Spain, it's very, very old-fashioned now. Very few Spanish people, especially young people, use usted anymore, even to the older people or their boss. They don't. No, I don't think a Spanish person now would refer to the boss as usted. It would sound very strange.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe if they met the CEO, the president or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, your day-to-day bosses in your office. You know, it's very gone out of fashion. Sort of the equivalent, but not exactly the same.
Not exactly. It's a different...
Would be that in English has also evolved in that sense that it's become more, you know, we don't have usted, but yeah, things like dear would be the equivalent. Say, yeah, don't use that now. It sounds a bit old-fashioned, a bit too formal.
Mm.
Like, you know, a Spanish person now would very rarely use usted speaking to older people or...
Yeah.
It's strange when you see, I've seen, you know, maybe Latin American movies or something.
Yeah.
They even call their mother usted.
Yeah, I know. I find that's very interesting.
Which is like,
to
Spanish people is really strange.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been Spain maybe, I don't know, 60, 70 years ago.
Maybe. I don't even know whether it was ever used.
Maybe not even then. Or your maybe your grandmother, your grandfather, perhaps.
You would say it to your grandmother. Yeah, usted.
Yeah, but a long time ago, not anymore. No?
Yeah. Well, definitely. Maybe our listeners can let us know. That'll be super interesting to
know about. Yeah,
that's
good to get feedback on Spanish things as well, cultural differences.
So then we had those people who said they would definitely change, and then we had another few emails saying that they would continue to use dear, right? Because and we kind of agree with them, don't we, Alistair? Partly because I think their roles in particular are always getting in contact with people that they don't know, and also in different areas of the world that are maybe a little bit more formal, like Japan, right?
Yeah. Well, to give them a shout out, you know, we said we mentioned people's names.
Yeah.
So it was Rodolfo and Sergio, I think, were the two people, and I think Judith was another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they commented that they, in Judith's case, she said she always writes emails nearly all the time once.
Mm.
I don't know what her job is, why it would only be once, but one email, and it's very rarely that she enters into a exchange of emails with this. So she writes to people all over the world and usually once.
Yeah.
Why that is, she didn't explain. Mm. But she said for that reason, it is very formal. There is no ongoing relationship with this person.
Yeah.
She doesn't know them. So she said, you know, I use dear and I'll continue use dear. And I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually. I think that's probably right.
It's probably right. And Rodolfo and Sergio said they write to people in, I presume they're from Latin America, because they said they write to people in Europe and Japan.
Yeah.
And they felt that these are people they don't know. So they said at least the first contact, they think dear is appropriate because it's quite formal and they will continue to use it. However, they then went on to say maybe then you enter into a relationship with that. I don't know if it's a client, a customer, a colleague. We have an exchange of emails and gradually more informality would come into it.
Mm.
And one of them said a very interesting, he said, they would copy what the other person does.
Yeah, this is
so
a great...
So if they get a response saying hello, they would answer back hello. If it said hi, they say hi.
Yeah.
So basically they just say copy the level of informality of the other person.
Yeah.
Which is a good trick, maybe, you know, not make sure you don't offend. Maybe a Japanese person, we have this stereotype, I don't know how true it is these days. They're quite a formal, traditional, conservative society. So maybe they're safer, you know, to have a bit more formality in your emails, at least at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then if that person answers back to your dear with, hi there, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You go, oh, okay, this person's pretty informal. So
you
then respond in the same way. What would be very strange, as we've just mentioned, is they say hi, hello to you, trying to, you know, break the ice, be friendly, and you continue answering back, dear Mr. Something. That would be really weird.
Yes.
So, you've got to sort of be compatible with the other person, or...
Yeah.
You want the two people exchanging emails to be using a similar style, whether formal or informal, but not mixing them. That's definitely not a good idea.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah, a copy strategy. A copy strategy is interesting and a really great approach in many, many contexts. And I would say that it's funny because, you know, at school we're always told that copying is the worst thing to do, right? You know,
don't copy.
You know, that's the
cheating.
The ultimate sin at school, right? Mm. But a copy strategy is magnificent. It really is. But both in written form, but also in spoken form. You know, like just picking up on the little things that the other person is saying, right? So especially with native speakers as well. I mean, with non-natives, there is always that danger that you may be copying something that's actually incorrect.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Which does happen a lot. Huh? I mean, there's a lot of sort of mistakes obviously happening when non-natives communicate. Mm. But if you're speaking with a native speaker, then it's really, if you have the ability to pick up and then copy the expressions that they're using, that wouldn't be the first person. I think we've had that in the fluency community as well. People saying, you know, I really try to listen very carefully to these other people and then, you know, note down some expressions and actually use them later on. And I think that's a
brilliant
copy strategy is fantastic. Absolutely great. Yeah.
So I think we would agree with Judith, Rodolfo and Sergio, just to mention the names again, that, you know, okay, sometimes in some situations like their examples, you know, dear is still acceptable. Because you are writing in a pretty formal situation with people you don't know. So, at least to begin with, as they said, maybe that first email, that first contact, it's fine. No? But maybe then, you know, break the ice perhaps with that. If there's some continued communication would be the best advice. And maybe copy, you know, what they do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we also got an email from Milagro, which was really, really great. And I think it's definitely worth looking into here. And it was all to do with the idea of a colon, right? So the idea of writing Dear Mr. Smith and then putting a colon at the end. And she was mentioning that she did that for years and years and years until she realized that it actually is not really done in English at all. Putting a colon or two dots, let's say, if you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, in case people don't know what a colon is, two dots.
Yeah, two dots.
So that's dear or whatever, no? So hi, hello, dear, whatever is your introduction, and then putting a colon.
Yeah.
Which I'd never noticed, to be honest, but she pointed it out. And then I did notice, looking back at some of the emails, that one or two people had done that. They put, you know, hello, Daniel, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And then down one line to the content of the email. And in English, of course, I'm sure most listeners know this, but in case they don't, is a comma.
So it'd be, yes.
You know, dear, if you're going to use dear... Dear Mr. Smith, as in you, Daniel Smith, Dear Mr. Smith, comma, or Dear Daniel, comma, Hi Daniel, comma, whatever it is.
Whatever, comma.
So we use
a
comma,
always
we don't
comma.
Use a colon.
Yeah, that's
it's not a huge thing. Maybe people don't even notice. But I think it's, you know, thank you, Milagro, for pointing that out.
Absolutely. It's really, really, really interesting. Absolutely. Yeah. Another one connected to that idea, which I've seen a few times, is that when you have the comma, so when I've got received an email from somebody, you know, Spanish speaking, they've put the comma, that's fine, but then they've actually started the next sentence without a capital letter. Now this doesn't happen all the time, and it's kind of interesting, something maybe I'm not sure the percentage of people that do this, but just to let everybody know, when you write that, so imagine that you're saying hello Daniel, comma, then you go down a new paragraph, and then that first letter of that first word always has to be capital. Although it doesn't really make sense because it's not like a full stop at the, you know, after the greeting, right? But it does need to be a capital. If you're saying thank you, then that thank you, the T has to be a capital. So
Well, we were taught again back in the old days at school in English class was always begin a new paragraph. So the first word of a new paragraph is a capital letter. So I suppose even though you put the comma after the hello Daniel, it's not a comma in the middle of a sentence. It's
no, that's
really
right.
We're breaking up the email. The next line is the beginning of a new paragraph. Therefore, in English, at least in Spanish, I don't know. I think it's the same actually, but begin with a capital letter. Whatever that word is, doesn't matter. So it's worth just, as you say, you've noticed, I think,
a few
one
times,
or two people,
a few times,
beginning with a small letter.
So it's a slight, little thing there as well.
Yeah, so two little, you know, extra piece of advice, shall we say.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we got an email from Anyed, I think that's the pronunciation.
Yeah. A-Y-N-E-D.
That's right.
Anyed, maybe?
Yes, that's right. Anyed,
I'm not sure.
And their particular approach was to say greetings from Panama, right? Which is kind of, that's okay as well.
That's friendly.
Yeah, yeah, friendly.
Hello or hi, greetings from, and then the country, in this case, Panama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly nice. That's a...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we
fine.
Did have people suggesting what they used.
And, yes, you know, that was it. That was it, yes.
And I think all of the ones were like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, nice, informal, friendly, perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
So there's a good one. Hello, hi, greetings from Panama, greetings from wherever you are, Argentina, Spain.
That's right, that's right, that's right. And then another email from José Antonio talking about his alternatives to hope, right? Because my approach was, I hope this email finds you well. But he had other alternatives.
Similar,
right?
Three similar with hope, but slightly different to yours.
Yeah, yeah. So one of his options was, I hope this finds you in good spirits, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Now, this kind of got us thinking because in English, you can sometimes drop the subject, can't you, Alistair? So the alternative is kind of like, I hope this finds you, or I hope this email finds you well, or whatever. But you could equally say, you could drop the I and just say, hope this email finds you well, right?
Yeah, we do it a lot. It made me think when I saw this email, I thought, wait a second, because he put I three times, three suggestions, some nice suggestions. Another one was, hope is all... I hope all is well at your end. Slight variation on yours.
Yeah.
So all three suggestions, very nice, very friendly, very informal, good. But I just noticed that I, very repetitive. And I thought, I wouldn't put I. And I think most native speakers, most of the time, unless, again, very formal letter, but most of your communications and speaking as well, not only writing.
Sure.
You would just say, hope all is well at your end. Hope this message finds you in good spirits. You just begin with hope because it's obvious that it's I. So when it's clear who's speaking, the subject, particularly I, because it's obviously it's me saying this, we would just drop the I think, in 98% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's very typical things just to begin, you know, hope you're well, hope everything's okay, even speaking to people, no?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Even, you know, absolutely.
So that's worth knowing, I think, for people.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of my LinkedIn posts in the past where I think a few years ago, I always just used to say, hope that helps. Now I've actually changed it to, I hope that helps. I don't know why. I kind of, like, over time, I changed it back to I. But it's true that if you are writing, and this can be confusing as well, because if you write in English in WhatsApp or maybe even in a, on, you know, in any sort
with
of online
checker,
it will identify it as a grammar mistake as well, which is kind of even more confusing. So it will say,
but you can ignore the spell, Microsoft or whoever it is.
That's definitely going to put the question in your mind, though, isn't it? Because if the software is saying, you know, you need to use a subject, then you think, oh well, probably Microsoft is correct, right?
And it's fine to put I. It's not.
Yeah, it is.
But if you want to sound more like a native speaker, more natural, it's not necessarily a case of formal, informal, even really. Although it is informal, obviously, because, you know, in a very formal email, as we mentioned before, you probably would say I. But in other situations, it just sounds more natural to say, you know, I would always, in WhatsApp messages, emails, just say, hope you're well, hope everything's okay, hope this email finds you well. I don't think I would ever say I, to be honest. Maybe it's just because we're lazy and it's, you know, it's one letter. It's only a letter, one word less.
That's true. That's true.
So maybe people might not feel confident enough to do that because they might be worried, oh, is it okay in this situation? Because it's not always acceptable.
No, it isn't. No.
Situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably safer to put the I if you're not sure, but just so people know when they read it from somebody else, that it is okay. They might think, oh, this person's made a mistake. They forgot to put I. No, maybe not. That's, you know,
and
that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, it's often connected to two words, isn't it? Because hope is used very much connected in the idea of hope, right? So instead of saying I hope, you just say hope. And the other verb, I suppose, is see. So you could say, I will see you tomorrow, or you could say, see you tomorrow. Right. So, in fact, there you're actually removing the future form as well. You're removing the subject
removing
and the future. Or, you know, you could also say, I don't know,
See you later. Well, yeah, see you, all things.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah. Lots of different.
See you. Well, we just say see you. Mm. So I mean, which obviously all our listeners will be very familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, when they learn how do you say hasta luego, they say see you. Mm. But really, it's not a correct sentence. It's an abbreviation, so it should be I will see you or I'll see you. But we almost never put the I and the will. Mm. We just say see you later, see you.
Mm.
So there's another one that you know, we tend to take away the subject, and in this case, also the will, the future.
Because it's
just obvious what you mean, I suppose. Mm. When it's obvious who's speaking and what you mean, you can abbreviate it, basically.
Yeah. Good. Interesting. And just to finish off, we've got two... well, one was a question from Tomas, and another one was a strategy from Carolina, and we have to cover both of those because they were really great. Strategy. So Tomas actually asked us, is best wishes and regards okay, or is it a little bit like dear... is it sort of old-fashioned and formal? What would you say to that, Alistair?
I don't think so. I think they're both fine. I think you like best wishes, I've noticed.
Yes, I like best wishes.
Best wish regards in a business sense is a classic one that I think most people use most of the time. Kind regards, best regards, even BR, even two letters abbreviating.
Yeah.
So I think both of those are acceptable. They're sort of neither formal nor more informal than formal.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of neutral, really.
Yeah.
So I think, they're fine.
They're absolutely fine. They're not like dear, really. They're, you know, you can definitely still use those in what, you know.
This, which is pretty friendly, actually.
Yeah.
Use that with your friends in personal emails, no?
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking for a sort of categorization, best wishes is a little bit more informal, I would say. And then regards.
Sounding.
Yeah. And then regards is going to be, a bit more businessy, Yeah.
But both, I think, are acceptable in,
you
know, work emails or...
Yeah. Some people even say, this is very interesting, is the idea that if you're kind of writing a negative email, like a sort of fairly aggressive email, and you just put regards at the end, some people would define it as sort of like a passive aggressive, as in, you know, just like not saying best regards or anything like... You just say regards. And it's true, depending on the context, you could see it's kind of like, as a like, you know,
cold,
yeah.
Regards.
Yeah. But it that is depending on the context, really, a little bit. Because otherwise,
say regards, it's okay. Yeah, but it is, as you say, if it's an unfriendly, slightly aggressive, a complaint or something, somebody angry, then it would seem strange to be a bit aggressive and angry and then say, something very friendly like cheers, best wishes. You go, it's a bit contradictory.
Yeah.
They've just been criticizing me for a page of an email and then best wishes. So, you know, just putting regards. You've done your job. You've said what you have to say, but you're not being too friendly because you don't want to be friendly. No?
That's right. That's right.
So I think, as you said, it depends on the context.
It does. It does. Just like everything else, really. And, you know,
like
and,
many things.
You know, tone and, you know, when you're speaking, you know, it's maybe sometimes clearer, but with written format, you know, it's. But regards and best wishes, as we said, absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. They're not the same as dear. And then Carolina came up with a great 4-part strategy. Now, this is a little bit going beyond the, let's say, the remit of this particular episode of the podcast, but she kind of came up with a 4-part strategy about how she writes emails, which Alistair and I thought was really great.
Well, just would be really useful for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Follow, you know, they don't have to follow all 4 points, but, you know, any combination
that
they like.
Yeah.
I think is pretty good. I like the way she's very, obviously a very organized, clear person.
Yeah.
Very clear ideas. and wants to make sure emails are good.
Absolutely, absolutely. So maybe we should...
If you want to go through it?
Or? Yeah, I can go through. I can go through them. The first one is where this kind of very interesting in the fact that she, and good, I think, that she writes the original email in English. So she doesn't write it in Spanish. She writes it directly in English. And I think that's a really good habit to get into. There are going to be a lot of you probably who actually write the email in Spanish and then put it into some sort of translator, which I understand completely too. You know, time is of the essence in many cases. Yeah, it is quicker.
Obviously, you write slower in another language.
You do.
Always.
You do. But this is a good strategy. I mean, it's a good way of really getting, you know, some practice in as well. So if you write it, Carolina writes it directly in English. Then she uses a translator, an online translator, to double check that everything is sort of understandable, so she puts it in, you know, in English.
She puts it into Spanish, which is interesting.
Now, yeah.
The, So as you just said, most people, or many people, I'm sure, especially if you know, time is of the essence, you need to do it quickly, or you're not very confident on your level of English, would, you know, write in Spanish, translate to English. But she writes in English, translates it in Spanish just as if it makes sense in Spanish.
Sure.
She thinks, well, if it makes sense in Spanish, presumably it probably makes sense in English. That's a slightly different way to do it, which I thought was nice, clever.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, she does use a lot of online tools, and I think that I think most people who are listening to this will agree that, like, online tools have transformed, you know, written communication in terms of that way. And she does use this, and it's good. So the second part is translating, yeah, from her original email, which is written in English, into Spanish to make sure that it's clearly understandable, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then the third part is a grammar checker. So there are a few online tools that are grammar checkers that are really quite good as well. So that's kind of a third step to see if there are any sort of real main
fine-tuning, you could say. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And then the final step is actually to incorporate a little bit with AI, put that into AI, and then incorporate a few more native expressions.
Yeah,
or native
expressions or style to get a more natural native sort of feel to it, no?
Yeah.
So it might be adding one or two expressions, changing one or two things to make it sound as sort of natural and native as possible.
Yeah.
So an interesting, you know, sort of four-step process to get to the perfect or perfect, I don't know, but as near as perfect emails you can by the end of this process.
Yeah, Carolina, that was really, really nice. We liked that. And hopefully from the episode today, everybody have an idea of a kind of where we want to take the podcast in terms of, you know, getting that feedback from you as listeners and really inspiring us and helping you along the way. I think that's actually the best way that we can help you all out there is getting ideas from you and developing on those particular ideas, expanding on those ideas and answering any questions you might have. I think that's sometimes it's difficult to know how we can help you let's say as much as possible, but if we're getting those emails from you, then I think it'll be clear to us, right, Alistair? So I think it'll be really
One thing that was worth pointing out just occurred to me is because we said it's the subject of the topic of the podcast will be the previous Friday email, but in fact it isn't, because so we record, like, today is a Wednesday, this will come out in a week, the following Wednesday.
That's
so
true.
In fact, just so people realize, they could get confused, it's actually going to be not the Friday before email, the one before that.
That's
just
true.
Suddenly occurred to
yes,
me.
That's true. That's true. There is a bit of delay. Yes.
So there is a slight time delay there.
Yeah.
So when you download your Wednesday's episode of the podcast referring to the Friday email, it's not the Friday. It's not the one the Friday before.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the one before that.
It's the one before that.
It just suddenly occurred to me now.
No, that's true. And it's good to point out as well. Yeah. Good, Alistair. That was great. I really loved that. And I think this system will work very nicely. And let's hope we can encourage more and more people to write into us and
interact with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice to have that interaction with our listeners.
Yeah. So thank you for this week. And I'll see you again next week, Alistair. All right.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, speak soon.
Or hope so, without I.
That's right.
A pleasure as always.
All right, cheers. See you then. Bye-bye.